Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Monday's episode of the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. I am your host on this occasion, Craig Fowler, and I am joined by Amy Canavan.
Hi, Craig.
And Tony Anderson.
Hello, Craig.
How's it going, guys?
I'm good. Didn't watch a fair amount of football over the weekend. Didn't go out. Stayed in. Just ate some nice food.
Nice.
I had what would be thought of as a normal person's weekend.
Amy?
36-year-old.
I worked. It's Monday. I worked Monday. It's just okay. Everything's just okay. Team made another final. Pff, water off a duck's back.
That's the kind of attitude that gets a revolving door and you going out again.
Get the fuck out.
That's what we're trying to avoid.
Aye.
We're trying to find sound Celtic fan.
Failure.
Oh, we failed at the Rangers fan as well. Both ranks.
Imagine if we were both here. I'm insufferable.
Yes, both half of the Old Firm managed to reach the Viaplay Cup final with victories at the weekend. Two semi-finals which were entertaining and competitive and all you could really ask for, even though it ended up being the result that is more on the boring side.
That nobody wanted.
there hasn't actually been that many Old Firm Cup finals the last like 12, 13 years or so. So
yeah,
it's not.
Rangers have been a bit shy during those periods of that.
Yes.
So we've knocked out in a few semi finals ourselves.
No, this is why I know that it's something I think I say every single season. It's my favourite football in the world is Scottish based cup semi finals. Being the League Cup is my favourite type of football. I think they nearly always live up to it. And it seems to be the main time where the Old Firm get the shitters put up them. They seem to be, even now, the other team seems to, obviously they've got a lot to play for, and it's the only thing that we can win, the teams out with the Old Firm, so it's like, it's always a huge, there's always a vibe when it comes to it, and I do think they live up to it.
Right, Lee Johnson.
Fairly regularly. I mean, that's hugely offensive, but...
Positive vibes.
The football IQ is normally higher during a Viaplay match.
Screams Lee Johnson.
That was deliberate. I'm small and fat as well.
I guess it's got the factors that it's like a one-off. It's the one-off cup game, so teams are going for it. It's all to play for. There's a place in the final at stake, but at the same time, you don't have the nerves. Well, quite as much. There will be nerves, but there won't be quite as much as there will be with a final, where things could be a lot cagier, especially if you're a team like Kilmarnock or Aberdeen playing against one half of the Old Firm. It's very much a there is no tomorrow kind of thing, and that can sometimes have a negative effect on the spectacle.
The semi-finals, I think they do. I think they, I'd say 90% of the time, I'm just fucking figuring out there based on nothing.
Lee Johnson.
I've dressed a bit better. I'm not wearing a gilet for a start.
No, but shirt and jumper, though.
Well, it's cold. It's been cold today. I'm wearing a vest as well. I've started wearing a vest. something I've started doing. I bought a 3-pack of vest to
get you some leather gloves and
protect. Yeah.
I'm looking like at you one of those jackets.
Plan a murder, and then he always looks like he looked very much like a murderer this weekend, Lee Johnson. He looked like he was going to be up to no good. He's going to be digging holes later on, allegedly.
I somehow managed to leave both my gloves and hat at Easter Road on Saturday. So that's
he nicked them. Watch him. He'll have them on next week.
The gloves would be weird because the journalist gloves are like fingerless ones.
The gloves will be about 5 things too size, too big for him. Like floppy hand. Look like I have a big phone finger. It's a Super Bowl. But yeah, they do. I think they do normally match up to what you're looking for, and they are always pretty exciting.
Right, so let's start with the game on Sunday, the most recent of them, and that was Rangers defeating Aberdeen 2-1 after extra time with Kamar Roof coming back from nowhere.
Coming back from injury, briefly, to be injured again, but do something good in between.
Yes. A sore one, doesn't it, when he was walking off?
He's just made of fucking tracing paper, man. It's always the same.
He does get injured all the time.
He gets injured all the time.
I just don't think I've ever heard it compared to tracing paper.
Like, I feel like if the rain was going off too much, it would hurt him.
His bones are made of soggy biscuits.
Yeah, and it's his favourite game as well. But it's always so frustrating.
Didn't know Kamar Roof like rugby.
he's a really frustrating player, Roof, because he's got so much going for him. He's such a high quality player. You think when Rangers first got him in, you were thinking he's going to be the main man for a few years, and it's just never been able to happen. He's had some incredible moments.
Yeah.
And he's also done, he's been at everything though, like constantly getting injured, amazing goals. Absolute filthy player. Like, he credit kicked the guy in the face. Then we had last year when he done the stamping motion to try and break someone's leg. He is that type of player. So he's like, he's quite a box office player, and he isn't just a centre forward. He plays off that. So he's really, really sort of exciting to watch. But I feel like we're kind of stolen from him because he's just got
brittle
bones.
The most complete at Rangers, actually. I think he's probably, like, if he's fit and firing, he's certainly one that I would fear the most because he can, you know, like, right, okay, Morelos isn't going to do the running, Cholak's not going to do the running, he's just going to score. Scala's got the pace, doesn't always have the end product as well. But I agree with you, and you just don't get the best out of Roof in a very long spell.
No, it's always base. I mean, he's scored that goal
on the sidelines again.
Got that goal in the semi final last year in the Europa League. That was the last goal he scored. So, I mean, he's. It's really frustrating for Rangers because I agree with you, Amy. He's probably has it the most. He's got the most attributes probably out of all the strikers. And he could probably play in quite multiple styles. And that could be really helpful for Rangers. And especially with their forward line, when they're missing Hadji and stuff, Roof can play wide, he can play in the 10, he can play centre forward. So I do think they miss him. And there you go, they got him on the pitch there and he's got them into a cup final. He's only been on the pitch for 10 minutes, but then the brittle bone syndrome kicks in again. And he's away up the road and we won't see him again for 3-4 months. So it's if you're a Rangers fan, it probably is pretty frustrating.
It's Samuel Jackson's character in Unbreakable.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to say the one with the sharks where he just gets eaten. I was like, it was the pitch looked like the shark was going to come through. A shark looked like it was going to come through the fucking pitch on Sunday. It was that bad. The two teams done well, considering the pitch. Would you agree with that, Amy?
Yeah, I think it's that cliche. That was sort of like, okay, it might be able to even the sides out and probably stop Rangers from being able to play the ball as much as they would have liked. But no, I thought they done rather well because when you're watching the game on Saturday night, I think that was the real theory. I was like, it was quite funny for myself. Yeah. I'm thinking, wow, okay, we're going through and we're fucking them up for tomorrow. Because it just didn't look that you thought, right, they're going to be out spiking that until 3:30 in the morning or something to try and get it semi-playable.
Nobody can be bothered doing that.
No, but I thought they dealt with it rather well. And it was a scrappy game of football, I think. I don't think it was like
Scottish football.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't a classic, you know. It was a classic, but it wasn't a classic of a beautiful game that it was free flowing or anything like that. Aberdeen certainly stifled Rangers, but it was a good version of Stuffy.
Yeah, I love it. I love that. That's a Scottish football match. We've seen a few of them this season. Hearts, Motherwell this season, which was 3-2.
Yes.
I thought that was like a really fucking Scottish football match, like purely. Even Hibs Rangers 2-2, I think that wasn't full of quality, but just incidents constantly, two teams really going at it.
A game off two halves.
And kicking the shit at each other. And this one was violent, man. There was a lot of people getting kicked. I mean, Barisic, wow, what a game you were having, sir. He's another one that's like looks like he's being controlled
World
by
World Cup bronze medalist.
Yeah, he looks like he's being controlled by
third place
by like I think it was what Gary Neville spoke about with David Luiz years ago, saying it's like he's being controlled by a 9-year-old playing FIFA. Like that, but it's like so, but sometimes it's like someone's putting the controller down and he just goes into sleep mode. it just doesn't react. Something just there's no player who's more like, well, there probably
he's
is.
He's got to be one of Rangers fans most frustrated. I must ask you, and you've well, got to be frustrated with Barisic.
Yeah, he just
he's got it.
He goes, yes.
If it can be arsed.
Yeah, yeah. He just switches.
Well, I mean,
off.
Think of the player that it was that season where he was like
the season that Rangers won the league. Is I was like, oh my god, I want you. Yeah. Like for my team.
Nice clarifying there.
Yes.
that Adam's apple really get you going.
Anyway, swiftly moving on. It's got to be very frustrating because he can be pretty mince now.
As Ewan often says in the chat, somehow we've discovered that he can't cross the ball if the ball is moving.
He can't run and cross.
He just thinks about it too much.
And he just, because it used to work really well. Kent would go on the inside that season that we're talking about when they won the league. He would just gallop down the left, he'd roll it in, and then he'd just play in absolute brilliant balls. You were thinking like he was like one of the best crosses of the ball in Europe. That was something I think the constant. How high the quality was at every level he was playing at. And it was like, well, just purely as a crosser, he seems one of the best, but he's sort of now losing the ability to move properly, run. He's always had this ability to switch off, and it's just obscene how it just keeps on going. It keeps on happening because he must be getting at the level that Rangers play at and the abuse you'll get for the fans and how much the manager will be going on about how you can't fall asleep, but he does it all the time. And then on top of all that, he done that for the game yesterday for the offside, and then on top of that we had the two fresh air shots that were like identical in both halves. So what? And then he absolutely halved someone, which he was lucky to stay on the park for as well. So he had like an absolute, he had a rotten game, let's be honest.
I thought that was, I don't think that tackle's potentially getting spoken about enough, probably because of Anthony Stewart's absolute shocker,
tries to cut Fashion Sakala in half.
Still can't believe that some people are saying that that is only a yellow card.
Oh, it's mental.
But now I don't know, are they joking or are they not? But I think you cannot be so committed to the cause that, haha, that's only a yellow. Like, they have to be meaning it. I cannot believe Twitter. But yeah, I think if Stewart wasn't sent off, there'd potentially be more chatter in that Barisic, because at first viewing, I thought that's a certain red card.
I mean, if Lundstrom's a red card at Easter Road there this season, that was very similar type of tackle, but worse, higher and more aggressive. So I agree. I thought that he was lucky to stay on for that, definitely. But
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You kind of thought Anthony Stewart was doing it as well, because he gave it all the chat about Morelos, and Morelos didn't have a great game. Yeah. Like, oh, he's actually done it.
He's
backed himself and he's winning.
I really wanted them to cut the camera to Morelos when Anthony Stewart was getting sent off. I was rooting for Morelos to go like, wait.
But this is Anthony Stewart. And he was having a really, really good game overall, actually. But this has been quite a regular occurrence for him, that, again, we're talking about Barisic and the ability to switch off. That Stewart is, in moments, he's fucking up constantly. He's costing a lot of goals. He's playing really well for 89 minutes and 45 seconds, and then he's a brain farter. And now he's like costing Aberdeen a lot of games and a lot of goals.
Yeah, the fans are done with him, aren't they? Yeah. Like, they're absolutely done with him.
And that's despite him, when you're watching, he looks pretty good the majority of the match. When you actually sit and he'd done it yesterday, exactly. It was like his season encapsulated it in one game there. And yeah, I think they're going to have to take that that little armband off him.
Absolutely. if the Don's fans get their way about it, he'll be stripped of it, obviously. And I think the problem for him is as well, is that Shinny's came in and been very, I know it's only been two games, but he has been very impressive, and he's just sort of slotted right back in and been everything that Aberdeen have lacked, the experience, and just sort of like the calmness, the combativeness, but not half in a guy.
Sure, I mean, he's the best at it, Shinny. He knows how to play on
absolutely
the line.
Absolutely, like, I used to hate him.
Yeah, he's built for it. He knows exactly how to play on the line.
And that's the games that he wants. I know that's such a cliche as well.
Has he not been booked something ridiculous like 70 times in his career and never been sent off?
But that's a skill in itself, completely in itself. And he's been, what a signing straight away. He's like two games in, he's had, I mean, we spoke about on the podcast last week, Craig, just how much of an impact he had in the St Johnstone game, and not just impact he has on the team, but on his individual players going forward. And you saw it again. I thought Ramdani had a really good game. Like, Aberdeen struggled the first 15 minutes, and it was Shinny just snapped into a few tackles, yeah, and that totally shifted the whole momentum and got the crowd on their side.
But Shinny will bring out the best in Ramadani as well, because I've really liked him at the start of the season, and I've liked watching him at that base of the Aberdeen midfield. And I think he's only 26, and he was the most experienced and the oldest in the side pre-Shinny. But in the last few weeks, or in between the World Cup and Shinny signing, that terrible period for Aberdeen, so it's unfair to chuck blame on anyone, but like he really dipped. You could almost see it, and it was almost that it was just becoming too much weight on his shoulders. But with Shinny just being, he can't really be arsed either. He doesn't want to be bombing forward or anything like that. He very much just wants to be that protective base, which the defence really, really needs. But I think that'll really, you'll get to see the best out of Ramadani, because I think he's a better player.
Absolutely. No, I agree. And I think you're right, that the blend now with Shinny, Clarkson and Ramadani, that all complements each other. And you've seen that in the first two games right away. And I was impressed with Aberdeen, because their arse has gone a fair few times this season when it's not been going their way. You've seen when you watch games where they're full halves, where they're one thing. I'll use just an easy one for me to use. When they played Hibs at Pittodrie, first half they were absolutely diabolical, and then they were able to switch it up, and then obviously went on to win the game comfortably. So I think it's good for Aberdeen to see that during mid-game, during a half, when it's not going their way, they're able to sort of work their way into the game, and they sort of dominated the last 20 minutes, and the goal was coming. I think it would be fair to say they had the disallowed goal, which was an absolutely brilliant finish for Majovski. And then Majovski again, where it was a really nice finish, and Kennedy done really well to create the goal when Barisic just decided he wasn't playing anymore.
He just freezes.
Yeah, the child put the controller down. He needed a piss, ran away, put the controller down, so Barisic just stops concentrating completely. And then it's a really nice finish from Majovski, who looked like he had the bit between his teeth again, and his finishing looked good.
Because he's been off it since the World Cup, like really off it.
And when he plays badly, he's fucking hopeless. Like he
does nothing.
He's one of those. And then Duke had a funny game. I know he did go off injured, but he had a half where it looked like only whatever way he was running backwards, he had a hamstring problem, but if he was running forwards, he was absolutely fine.
Yeah, Aberdeen come to Tynecastle Wednesday.
You're fucking loving it. I was thinking that.
Huge game.
Only problem I had watching the game was when it got the 85th minute. I was like, oh, Rangers score, please, because I can't have Aberdeen off to go through the 2 hours.
I'm still a bit concerned about them, though, mainly because of what you're talking about with that improved midfield. But if Duke's out of Wednesday, that's obviously a big boost.
Huge.
Especially for a Hearts defence. It's increasingly patchwork, as it's been all season. We'll get to that later.
We're getting excuses. Oh, that always.
Even though they win all the time, play. Have a bit of confidence.
I'm not like a Celtic and Rangers fan who has to invent things that are going against them. We're having a lot of injuries. To be fair, Rangers have had a lot of injuries, but they managed to get the win in this one. And let's move on to before we move on, Ryan Kent's shithousery I quite enjoyed.
When he punched him?
That as well.
That was a red card.
Oh, sorry, I meant Ryan Jack actually pointed to the badge. But Ryan Kent's punching was...
He's too good at that. He's too good at that.
Too good at punching.
Scott Brown.
I forgot about that.
Oh, I didn't. That's phone down. He absolutely, I don't know, had like proper knuckle buster into Brown. And he done it again the other day, and he just seems to get away with it.
Just got away with it. Then we had VAR going off for about 12 minutes. Yeah. Just crack on. I love it. Love it. Just it's so bad at every level, VAR. The way it's used. When it's used, how the way it it's used, and now even how it works mechanically. It's bad on every level. But Ryan Jack, again, that's another big goal and just another one. Jack's career's been put back together by Why have I forgotten?
Michael Beale.
Michael Beale, who looks like a sleazy detective from an Irvine Welsh novel. but that's really that's such an impact on Jack, and it was a good goal. It was a lovely, a nice little 1-2, and it takes a deflection eye. But I think Rangers were in the ascendancy at that point, and were going on, and then the red card, and there was just no doubt that Rangers were going to win in extra time there.
Yeah. Let's go to the game on Saturday as Celtic also won out, winning 2-0 against Kilmarnock. But again, not a game that was as straightforward as many might have thought for the reigning champions. You kind of thought that really it's going to be a possession, and especially when Celtic took the lead during the first half, you especially thought that. But Kelly played very well and created some decent chances, and Daniel Armstrong's in particular at 1-0 should have been a goal. He had a great game, but he should have tucked that away. And Kelly, it's kind of, it's one of those ones where you're kind of half and half. You're very frustrated because you've let a really good opportunity to cause an upset slip through your fingers by not converting those chances. But at the same time, it's a lot better than any Kelly fan could have imagined going into the game, where they really would have assumed it was going to be an absolute pumping. And that wasn't the case.
And it's good to see, I think, for Kelly overall for their season, is that McInnes really seems to be getting the McInnes in the defensive, and that's two games back to back. They've played Celtic and they've looked really, really organised. And yeah, they've switched off occasionally and you get hurt. I think we spoke about this last week. That's going to happen when you play Celtic because it's so incessant. But that's, they look like, because even under McInnes early in the season, you were starting to think, he's not even got that defence really working very well. They're making a lot of errors. That's very worrying, because you look at the team, there's not a lot of goals in it, that's for sure. So if they can take that into this, we can get enough one. Well, what you're thinking is enough 1-0 victories for Kilmarnock to keep them in the league. That's what the plan is here, isn't it? So after watching these games back to back, you start to think that maybe they'll be able to do that, because beforehand you were thinking they are as much the favourites of going down as any team.
Still don't think, I've said that all season, but I don't think they play the worst football in the league, and I think it'd be harsh if they do go down. But yeah, there's a lot to take from both performances, because I was very cautious of the league game, not reading into that too much as well, because, and McInnes, I know why, and he came out and said, you know, well, Armstrong had a slight tight strain, but it was also just because he needed him. No matter what, he just needed him for the semi final, and he was an absolute game changer. What a revival! God knows how this is the Danny Armstrong that was not very consistent in the lower leagues. And there'll be a few that can vouch for that. But yeah, he is at the epicentre of if everything that goes well for Kelly. And he had Alexandre Bernabeu on absolute toast. My brother actually fell out with me because... that's just a good... I should just finish it there. Because I was like, oh, Bernabeu's rank, he's really getting like... absolutely rattled here by Armstrong. He's like, Burnaby's not that bad. And then it was in the second half, he chipped a ball in. I can't even remember what, nothing happened. And my brother, like, we're in total silence, and he just went, there's Burnaby with another good cross, another good pass. And I was just like, aye, but mate, what about every time that Armstrong's got by him?
I love it. I do this. When you back someone that everyone else hates, you start watching them so closely.
The alternative is usually if there's somebody you think's crap and somebody says good, and then you're just watching the game with them and like misplace a pass, he's looking really good there, mate.
It's so fucking pay. It's so pay.
I missed like the first 20 minutes because I was driving home from Aki's Morton, so I got in, and then I was like, oh, so they're saying on the radio that the Burnaby's really not having a good shift, and brother was like, no, it's Starfelt, he's absolutely horrendous and all that, and he's like, Burnaby's not doing anything wrong. Never spoke to me for about an hour, and then it was like that one cross, like, oh, chip in. I honestly can't even remember, because it doesn't matter, because we were falling out. And it was just that it's total silence. Burnaby good crossing pass. But no, I thought Armstrong had Burnaby
get the notepad out. Burnaby one completed cross.
8th minute.
Yeah. That's what I'm like with Josh Campbell now. I like trying to defend him every turn.
But no, I thought Armstrong was very unlucky to be on the losing side, because he was certainly a better performer than a few Celtic players as well.
Yeah, I mean, that must go down as one of Celtic's weakest performances of the season?
I don't know. It's tricky with the conditions. I don't want to use that as an excuse, because they're the same for both teams and they're the same for Aberdeen and Rangers.
It was the same across Scotland.
Exactly.
But it's pissing down for ages.
Correct. It does affect the way that Celtic can play. I just, you know, penalty incident aside, I do think that Celtic were in control, though. It pays dividends that Joe Hart decided that, yeah, I'll make some saves today, because he mostly does so in the big sort of games like this, perhaps not always in Europe, but that's a different kettle of fish. But sometimes
yeah, the shots are good in Europe.
Yeah, yeah. But there's times that in the league you're just like, Joe, I think you could maybe have tried a wee bit harder for that, but he was up for it the other day. It's a cliche again, and
it's a hard game to analyse. I found that I was drifting in and out of it because it was stodgy. But because Celtic did still have control of it, and the only thing that you get a bit excited because you're a little bit impressive. Well, Kamarnik are actually, when they're getting the ball, they're trying to manoeuvre in, they're committing bodies. That was the only bit that's exciting. And we had the bit that Doidge came on and without playing well, was able to be effective.
Yeah.
And that was exciting to see.
Yeah, I think Doidge should be doing better with his headers. If Christian Doidge can't score with headers, then I'm not 100% sure why Christian Doidge is coming on. Yeah. And so I think there was one in particular that he had a real chance at it and he just sort of mistimed it. But that was sort of like the case as well. There was Stephen Fletcher at Easter Road the other day, sort of mistimed his headers and you're like, that's like your bread and butter. Which I know you're not going to do all the time, or they certainly wouldn't be playing with Kelly and Hibs, but it's very much job done, not one that you're going to mull over too much.
They were a bit. Was injuries the half time substitutions for Kilmarnock? I was trying to work out because he brought Lafferty off, who obviously made a pretty psycho decision.
As a Celtic fan, you ought to be quite.
Oh yeah,
pleased
yeah.
With
you
it.
Don't like them. You don't like the F words. You're not meant to try and score for them. You hate them.
It was a lovely moment. Couldn't have happened to a better player. But I think immediately after the goal, it looked like, I don't know if Lafferty was just sort of going, sorry, that was me, or he was sort of signalling that like he had a little bit of an injury. So I think that that was certainly.
And then the next thing he done was try to score for that free line. Your head's gone.
like Gary O'Connor in the 2012 final.
Yeah.
Hibs never got the ball back and it was 4-1.
Because it took. And Donnelly, who's had a woeful season, a bad season, it has been. Donnelly has been probably, I would say, one of the worst signings for Kilmarnock this season. But
you didn't have to say for Kilmarnock.
He was having one of his better games, I thought.
Yeah. I thought he was okay as well, yeah.
And he got hooked at
half time. Yeah, but bringing on Polworth it enabled Kelly to kind of play about 10, 15 yards further forward the park.
And a bit more of a technical player.
Yeah.
So it must say.
He's a better player. And that's a better footballer.
Yeah, he's definitely a better footballer, right. So that's quite brave for McInnes because that's taking off someone who's probably playing quite well, who you started with. And he was able to make those decisions. But I mean, McInnes just doesn't beat Celtic at Pandon regardless of the situation.
Yeah.
Could give him a select team from the rest of the league and he still would manage it.
a select team from the rest of the league when they beat Celtic.
Yeah, that's the problem.
It wasn't the best of Celtic performances. It wasn't the best of Celtic lineups either, in all honesty. I wasn't particularly blown away when it came through. But it was just total job done. I think it's a very unfortunate as well. I think that VAR, they made the lines a little bit chunkier for Maeda goal, you know, Kyogo tracking back. I feel that's a very
what
thick
a goal
line.
That would have been, though.
That really would have been. Lovely. I was because nobody, no Kelly player sort of like put the hand up and that. Like, I'm joking about the line, obviously. But it was a beautiful goal and it was just that's like peak Celtic. And I think if that had stood, floodgates would have really opened.
Because McInnes celebrated that getting disallowed like a goal running down the touchline.
That was Neil Lennon.
Which is true. I get it.
You Old Trafford,
I get it. And I understood why he was maybe that way.
Yeah, because totally Kelly, still in the game.
Kelly held in, and then they should have got a penalty. It's a penalty.
It is a penalty.
He bumps into the back of him, and then he puts both arms around him, and then he goes. And like the people say, even if he does go down too easy, he's well within his rights to. He's been bundled over.
Again, I was like, because I was reading Kerry Dale Street, and like, just everybody like that. No, it's not a penalty. Like, what? Shut up.
My Twitter feed, honestly, was unbelievable. I'm like, what are yous on? Like, there's only so much you can, I think, like, sort of be passionate. Like, if there's just a blatant decision, you can only,
we'll,
like,
we'll come
back
on to one later
so
if
much.
We're going to talk about the Hearts game as well.
Well, that'll not be penalty.
I mean, someone said it was a correct decision on telly that I watched, but, and then he got slagged off for not being biased enough. That was fucking biased. I'm biased that you could possibly say. But that we'll come on to that later. But, definite penalty.
It's
and then penalty. Yakimakis goes up the pitch and
does what he's meant to do.
And now he's away. He's away today for $4 million.
Nice abs.
He's quite a good looking chap.
He's a very good
looking chap. But he's away now, isn't he? That's him gone. I saw that just before we started.
4 million. Seems very
cheap. It sounds like he wants
cheap.
He wants to leave, and him and Ange maybe had a little bit of a. But,
by the way, still reckon you're getting 30 million for Juranovic?
See, why did you bring up transfers, Tom? This is not a transfer pod.
It's not a transfer pod.
This is not a transfer pod. Decline to comment.
I'm going to thoroughly enjoy that. Craig, you were right, pint.
Right, was that a bet?
I bet don't remember that.
Amy gives me a pint and says, Craig, you were right.
Oh, God, you are a
pet. He said that in a group chat, though, after it. I didn't know that was part of the conditions when I
decided.
Said it.
That's all decided.
Amy, what you do is just don't go to the pub. He can't force you. He can't go out
exactly.
Take you to the pub under his arm.
Amy, you will see these words.
I go to the pub myself and then just hand the phone to the barman. Amy reads it her long card number.
But yeah, Celtic make it through yon next game.
Right, okay, let's get to the first of the four games we're going to cover in the Cinch Premiership from the weekend, and that came at McDermott Park as St Johnstone were beaten 4-2 at home by Livingston. Yes, a goal fest, a 6-goal thriller where St Johnstone were, for periods especially in the first half, absolutely all over the place. What is Callum Davidson? What is he? Is he good? Is he bad? I don't know.
I really like Callum Davidson. I really want him to do well.
Well, he really needs to stop picking Ryan McGowan in midfield and put him in the back three, and also drop Liam Gordon.
That does my head in. Even though Liam Gordon's pass for the goal was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, that was good. But still,
there's all the other. Stop
playing Graham Carey in a midfield three. There's loads of problems with this team.
Well, yeah, I mean, if we go and start with that from the team, like Carey and Witherspoon, and they're in that weather as well. Against a Livingston team with like Omiyonga, and that, you know, like it's like. Don't like the look of that, how that's going to go.
Youth in general.
Yeah, and then they just... So Carey just wasn't interested in going backwards. Obviously, there's a real lack of mobility in that St Johnstone midfield.
Young VO, that it was just like stiffness.
Because you've got...
Your big head just knocked your mic.
I know, I need to knock myself out trying to remember McGowan's name. McGowan, Carey and Witherspoon in that midfield in that against a Livingston team and in that weather, it just seems so like
it's frustrating
about that. Like that just seems like a really really bad managerial decision to do that. And I'll come on to it later. I watched the game just before we came on air, and he in the second half they made substitute changes and they made the world a difference. McPherson and Phillips going into that midfield, and with McLennan going on the right, made an absolute world difference. But you would have had no idea that first 20 minutes what shape St Johnstone were playing. The only reason I knew it was a back three was because that's just what they play. That was the only reason that I would be able to guess it, because it was all over the place. And then when they were going forward, Witherspoon would press, Nicky Clark would be back in the midfield. And then they would just a couple of passes, and then obviously with no mobility in the midfield, and they would get them turning right away. And Bradley had Montgomery on toast out there.
I've been really impressed by Bradley.
Yeah, I mean, really impressed. We don't really have any wingers, but we've got a couple. Sorry, that's a lie. But I was both
just
effect.
Chucked them. But
again, and he was good, and he set up another goal, and he was having a
who are the Hibs wingers?
Well, you, Anne, and McGeady at the moment.
Oh yes,
and I think we are probably our better footballers than Bradley.
Yeah.
I don't know if you, Anne.
We'll get to Ewan's performance later on.
I mean, are we talking about one of the most creative players in the SPFL?
Oh, somehow. God,
the most assists outside the Old Firm. I don't know. I mean, that's just the facts. I don't really normally bother about them.
For Opta.
But yeah, and then the goals. They could have scored numerous of the balls down the right hand side to Bradley against Montgomery with Devlin going outside them. They could have scored the second goal especially, which was rolled in by Kelly, which is a lovely goal. They could have scored that three or four times in the half. They were just able to do the simple thing all the time. You know what I mean? With a manager like Martindale as well, see, once there's a weakness clearly to be seen, he'll like spring
attack,
on
attack,
it.
Attack,
yeah,
attack.
And he'll just do that constantly. He's very, very tactically aware. And he is a guy who is clearly switched on when he's watching it and is more than willing to make changes during the match. But St Johnstone weren't even that bad in the first 15 minutes going forward. They created the first chance, nearly scored. It was Nicky Clark outside his right foot, little shot, and they worked a few of them. Dre Wright was getting in behind sometimes the right hand side, but just they were so, so vulnerable. And it's so weird seeing a St Johnstone team, especially under Davidson, being that vulnerable, because that's not something we normally witness.
Yeah, it should be the other way around, isn't it? As last season was, it was the problem with scoring goals, but I think Fowler touched on it and it's spot on, and I'm sick of saying it, but Gordon just, I get it's captain and it's hard to drop, but St Johnstone are a worse team with Liam Gordon in it. And again, you're so right that you're sacrificing Ryan McGowan in a more forward position. That's not what he was brought in to do. You know, he shouldn't be playing.
And also as well, when he makes the changes to take off an extra defender because he's changing things up, he takes off Alex Mitchell, who is definitely better than Liam Gordon this season.
He's our best defender.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Alex Mitchell, actually. There was a period, I think it was the October time or just before, that Gordon was injured, and it was only two or three games or whatever, but it was part of St Johnstone's return. Renaissance. Great word, Tony. And pre-World Cup, when they went on that 5-6 game unbeaten run, and Gordon wasn't a part of it. And it's like, that's sort of like a sort of green flag or red flag as to why things are going better than they have been, and why they've now reverted back to a worse position. St Johnstone were really cruising, and I really enjoyed watching them pre-World Cup. And they were actually a decent side to watch. Mm-hmm. It seemed that everything had worked. And for all the...
It makes sense.
Yeah, everything that Callum Davidson sort of came under fire for at the start of the season, signing a bunch of old men, that was totally put to the back of the conversation, because it was like, right, well, look, it's working. It's proven fruitful. But now we've totally regressed, almost went full circle and went again, okay, all signing all these old men didn't work out.
It was St Johnstone, when they made the changes at half time, it's always like such obvious ones, like McPherson in that weather against a Livingston team, like guys like Omuyonga, you need a buzz bomb in there. That's what McPherson can give you. He's box to box, he's quick, he likes to snap into tackles, he's an energetic player. He comes in, he instantly does that. Phillips, not perfect, but Phillips should be playing. This is, you know, when they signed McLaren early in the season, we were talking about, like, he has to play no matter what because he's the only one with legs. So, like, Phillips has to play, because you know the way that they played against Aberdeen in the first half, when, you know, when they can't keep the ball for, like, 30 seconds. With Phillips in the team, that won't happen. He's always available. He's a very calm player. He picks the right decisions a lot of time when he's got the ball, and he shuffles. He doesn't go bombing. So he's always available for the pass. So when you're a team like St Johnstone, who sometimes, at their worst, struggle to even keep the ball for a while, and they're just constant attacks from any team. Not, it doesn't even have to be the old firm. It's like any team could just hold them in, pin them in for like 50 an hour at a time. With Phillips there, that won't happen, because he can actually control some of the tempo, he can be available for the ball. He doesn't always get on the ball, but he's always, and then that makes other players able to take a risk because he's available. So they'll look, they know, right, I've got, that's a guarantee. So I'll look forward, I'll drive, and then if I'm not able to make that pass, I'll come back and I'll give it to Phillips. And that allowed them to get into the game. And then McLennan had a really, really good time on the right hand side. Whoever was playing on the right seemed to be getting
a good time, enjoying himself.
Yeah, he was having a great time. And then he gets on the score sheet, he gets into the box, and he's getting a lot of the ball and he's getting forward. So the two right-hand sides, Bradley was really, really good, picking up the ball, looked really confident, and something I think Martindale does for these sort of like players that he pulls out a bit out of the left field.
Yeah, well,
makes them feel good about themselves, and he gives them, puts faith in them.
Yeah,
you can look at the two goal scorers, Stephen Kelly and James Penrice, both when Livingston signed them, you're like, really? Because yeah. Kelly was at Ross County and wasn't that impressive. He was on loan for Rangers, and you always
kind of put him on the left, like you were talking about again, and that's worked a treat.
And I think you always have to caveat loans is, and you know, how much is the player's heart in it, how much is he kind of unsure about his future, and how much does that weigh on things. But he wasn't impressive much at County. I don't think, I know that County fans weren't particularly. I think he maybe got a bit of praise from outside and thinking, oh, he looks like a decent player, but he did certainly frustrate County fans. But he's been excellent of late, and really suiting that left sided of the front three position. And James Penrice was like average at Parag Thistle towards the end of his days there, and yet he's rifling goals in the top corner.
Those two goals, a wee back heel in, and then that one, the sound that made, oh,
they
it's
are
the best
lovely
sound in football.
Absolute peaches.
Aye, it's best sound in football. And Penrice looked like he was up there giving it to the fans, giving, I don't know how I'm doing this, which is always fun. But yeah, there was some, as I said, Omuyonga, Kelly, Bradley all had really, really good games for
these guys, and Sean Kelly as well, who's managed to adapt to that kind of defensive midfield role. These guys are keeping out Jason Holt and Scott Pittman.
Well, that's what I was about to say. I mean, they'll be really pleased, Martindale, right
ruin
now.
Ruin those red cards.
He'll be really pleased because, I mean, you're talking about Newbley's not fit. And I mean, Rob was talking about the podcast last week where he said that, oh, he's not, we've not, he's our only goal threat, was a quote that he used earlier in the season, which was quite a pointy target, basically, though, Bruce Anderson, but also everyone
else. The rest
else.
Of you is our new pulling
yeah,
away.
Yeah, and then he's got, like, he's not there, they've just scored 6 goals in 2 games from all different areas of the pitch, with a striker, a midfielder, and a defender all scoring, but... I mean, so Johnston will take something from that. They did play a lot better in the second half. They didn't let their heads go down, and there was a lot of booing when they were keeping the ball. But as you say, the biggest problem with Davidson is he's choosing these lineups. It's not that he's got a lack of options. He's putting the wrong team out, and it's happened nearly every week. I thought I had the same. I said the same against Aberdeen last week. I didn't like the way it started, and it wasn't until they made changes that it done. And it's the same again this week. He doesn't have to play in that, but there's certain players like Phillips, like Carey, can only play in one role, and that's either him or Witherspoon that are going to play in. Phillips probably has to play. He's a unique player in their lineup, and then you're starting to look at, like, they need pace. So maybe these guys, whether even if you don't think they're the best, you as a team to do anything will have to have these players, like, these attributes within it.
Right, let's move on to our next game, which took place at Easter Road as it finished up. Kevin Nisbet 2, Dundee United 2. Tony, who are both at this one? It has to be said, Hibs for, I mean, the majority of the first half, but the first 10 minutes, I thought in particular, and for stretches as well. For the first 10 minutes, and then there was a brief, actually, for the majority of the first 25 minutes. For the majority of the first
half. For how long,
minutes,
Craig?
I know, I'm just going to keep start going again. Up and up and up.
Because I was first just going
to. You're just thinking there, yeah, especially the first half an hour, because there was a brief period where Hibs kind of rallied after McGuinness hit the bar. That came out of nowhere, and then for the next 4 or 5 minutes, Hibs were in the ascendancy. Other than that, though, in that first half an hour, it was all Dundee United, and Hibs were all over the place.
Well, I mean, it's very easy. When we saw the team before, I mean, I was posting it on our group chat, and I'm like, this could be anything. Like, when that lineup, he said something during the week, Johnson, about he might have to get clever with the lineup. And I went, oh, the last thing. Oh, wait, the smartest cunt in the room's again.
Does that mean?
Because we had some injuries, so I think he was. Yeah,
so how is he getting clever? What can he do?
You can put Josh Campbell right back and play Will Fish beside him. make half the back four a non defender and a guy who's played about 30 minutes in his career.
Play your best midfielder in the centre of the park.
Best defender in the centre. Because, like, the Portuguese thing is worked at times, so I'm not going to. I don't want to just turn and use that against.
So I mean, if that's not clever, then what is? Like, what's his next level of cleverness?
Will Fish, apparently.
I don't want to go too in on the Portuguese midfield, but in this game, Portuguese had to play the back because Hanlon got injured, and Hanlon's fucking passed it anyway. But that's another conversation. If Josh Campbell's, if you've decided that Campbell has to be right back, even though there is other fullbacks on the bench, could play Stevens out there. There was other options, right? And also, Campbell went at right back against Motherwell, and in a game that he had a good game, Campbell had a terrible 20-minute period playing in the right back position where he got rinsed and nearly lost the game.
He was rubbish in this game as well until he got moved to right. Until he got moved further up to right wing back, where he's running could be a bit more.
And even then, right back, he got a bit better. At his best when we were playing the period in the second half where he just got moved into the front three. Yeah. And he played in the right. That was when he was at his best and he created the goal. And I was screaming.
Could imagine my shock.
Oh yeah, I was screaming because I knew it when I was like, just people are being hung out to dry. Rocky Bashiri, for example, I mean, Rocky Bashiri's got some really good attributes. He's but he's still a pretty raw player, and you certainly shouldn't be relying on him with a 19-year-old centre-half and a midfielder right-back, that Rocky Bashiri's going to be the one who's going to be holding it all together. I mean, he's a guy who looks like he still needs to really concentrate on what he's doing a lot of the time. He's still raw.
Where's the leader?
Yeah, there's nothing. But you've decided to do this. Again, he doesn't have to have Josh Campbell and Will Fish as the whole right side of the back four. That's a decision that you've made. But the second he changed it, we scored within literally seconds. With the Portuguese more space to ping the pass over. Campbell, good touch in an attacking area, plays it in his bit, and it's a great goal. But I don't want to go too much there because I thought Dundee United were pretty impressive, and I'll let you talk about that. Were really impressive in that first half an hour.
Yeah, in particular, like Harks and Jume getting a lot of space in and around the Hibs penalty area, and Harks obviously helping him to score the goal, but Jume was impressive as well. Fletcher had a...
Freeman and Harks were having...
I was going to say Freeman as well. Freeman had Stevenson on toast for the first half in particular. Like, really, he was going at him constantly.
Yeah, but Lewis Stevenson could probably be his dad.
Lewis Stevenson needs a rest sometimes.
What's happening with Cabrera?
Like,
but yeah, like, United were very impressive, and I think maybe you could... because it's always hard to say whether it's...
And that's without Sybil. I mean, that's without Levitt.
Yeah, and you wonder whether it's due to Hibs improving or United getting worse, but I did kind of... I was surprised, I think, in the second period, especially the last 30 minutes, that how deep United got and how it just seemed like... To be fair, I just assumed it was going to finish 2-1. Like, I didn't actually think Hibs were going to score, but I was still shocked that United didn't really commit
take
a lot of bodies
really
and try to score goal number three.
Because it was there to be had. And they had the ability. I mean, they had people that could have they had pace from off the bench that they could have brought in, and we were very much over committing, and we'd went to three at the back, and we were spreading the two centre halves right out. So it was there was lots of gaps to take advantage of, and then Hibs brought on Jake Doyle Hayes, who was pretty decent, I thought, and he drove the ball forward. But they had options to go ahead and take advantage of that. I think maybe if they'd had Tony Watt, who may have been able to come on and played that central role, who's obviously much more mobile.
Yeah, I was looking
quicker, to be fair, I was maybe able to take advantage of that period in the game.
I was looking at their bench at like attackers they could have brought on. There's Cudjoe and Niskanen, but are either of them actually any
never
good?
See Cudjoe.
I know.
We had the games that way, like, oh, he's got a back heel or something like that, and he can run. But then I've never seen him since. But they waited very late to bring on anyone. It was after the 80th minute, and the game had completely... It was just an attack against...
And they're bringing off Stephen Fletcher for a midfielder. Yeah. So there's a few things not to like about.
They bring on the two guys who were been out injured since, like, November.
Yeah.
Peter Pollitt and Jamie McGrath.
Aye, so there was a few things in the second half I think they could have done a bit better. But first half performance was excellent. Like, they really did go right at Hibs for the start. Mm-hmm. And Glenn Middleton giving it the shush to the Hibs fans made me laugh as well. the whole game made me laugh because
Nobody was booing Glenn Middleton. Everyone forgot that he played for Hibs.
As I've said loads of times.
What did he do at Hibs? Nothing.
He was absolutely dreadful at Hibs.
I can remember him in the kit, but that's about
absolutely
it.
Absolutely dreadful at Hibs.
My favourite thing is, I think a lot of people listening to this will know, my favourite thing in football is when teams are just a complete shambles and fans are really upset. And when it's Hibs, it's even better. And that was, there was booing in the first half, just the general play. There was booing at the halftime whistle. And even after scoring a 92nd minute equaliser, there was booing at full time.
Yeah, the full time whistle went a minute later and everyone booed. Which, fair enough, because performance wasn't good. You can't just let it go out. But I suppose we need to
McGeady,
mention...
Every through ball McGeady attempted went right out of play. Johan was absolutely shocking.
I didn't think Johan was that bad.
He kept showing, which you could tip your hat to say, like, you're right, you're constantly trying.
But
his final ball where he's shooting was just...
Maybe he tried that over a kick. Wowzers! There's about three people on the entire planet that would be able to execute that in the net. Honestly, it was like, wow.
You are not one of them.
But he was getting the ball a lot, and he was dribbling, and they were doubling up on Johan, which was creating a lot of space because he was dribbling, he was getting away. But you're right, his final ball was letting him down, and his shot was letting him down. McGeady always wanted an extra touch,
yeah,
which was annoying. But I think it's because people weren't moving quickly enough for McGeady to give him the option that he wanted.
He was frustrated a lot of the time as well. I think a lot of players not on the same page as him.
Yeah, and then but Nisbet, man, that guy is on fire.
Yes,
like, I mean, those two chances, he's just pretty much created. Campbell does well to create the chance from the first one, but it's like just
even still,
so
there's a lot to do.
Aye, and then just and. But then, the minute he got away from the defender for the first goal, I was on my feet thinking that's a goal. Because he just drills it in the bottom corner. Keeper's nowhere near it. The second one should never be a goal. And he does really well to finish it, but Birigetti is so far over. He's practically outside the post. Nisbet does really well to reverse it and go on out. And I was like, thank you, Mark Birigetti is back. Thank you. Even though he made like the save of the season for McGinnis, I didn't realise at the time. Again, his shot, he saves it. Tips it onto the bar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets a touch on that.
Unbelievable save.
Absolutely gets a touch on that.
Unbelievable save. So, but again, he's had a good one, but thank you. Thank you for returning to something, making one of your... Not as much an error, not as clear an error as some of the other ones. But, let's slide them back into this to give him the opportunity.
I was just going to talk a little bit more on Kevin Nisbet because I spoke to Mickey Weir last week for his columns for the Evening News, and he made the point that Nisbet looks like somebody that before his injury, he didn't look like he was enjoying his football at all. And just being out for that long and how bad it is and how hard it is for a footballer to be out for such a length of time where you can't play and you're having a rehab and it's you know, quite a soul-destroying experience, that that just might have rekindled his love for the game. So it doesn't really matter that he didn't get the move that he wanted.
It doesn't matter the hips are shite.
It doesn't matter the hips are shite. He's just back happy to be playing football. That only lasts so long if your club's a bit of a farce.
He looks a machine. He looks so strong, so sharp.
Really
straight back into the Scotland squad.
I was going to say, who makes Scotland squad? Kevin Nisbet or Lauren Shankland?
I think they both might make it, because just kept Jacob Bound. Nobody even knows who you are.
But that would be five forwards, and I can't see that many. Also including Ross Stewart, if nobody's injured.
Well, right now, if we're doing it, if Nisbet keeps going, you just have to call him up, because you need to have a guy who's on that much of fire. I think just has to be the case. But do it next Sunday, please, sir. We need some sort of joy for this season, even if it leads to nothing. A wee day for me where I can go to the pub after and have a wee party.
Off one.
Right, let's get to our next game, which took place at Fir Park, as Motherwell and Ross County drew one each. Okay, Amy, we'll just go to your thoughts on this one.
It's just not a good game of football. This was one of the worst.
Unsurprising, considering the two.
Unsurprising, I'm not shocked, but it is one of the worst games of football that I have listened to and then also watched, tortured myself going through. I don't know what is going wrong. Well, there's lots, but I don't know how all of a sudden this, like, after a relatively okay start under Stevie Hamill, it's just nothing has developed. There has been no growth under Stevie Hamill at Motherwell. No. And for someone who was a defender who liked to defend, it's remarkable that his team cannot defend.
No.
Because the Motherwell's defence, I don't mean stats-wise, I mean shit. I don't care how much they've conceded. Because, in all honesty, Liam Kelly's not even right now filming with a lot of confidence for Scotland gloves. But the shit...
He's absolutely not getting them. we're either getting Angus Gunn, we're getting David Marshall out of retirement, or it's going to be John McLaughlin or Sander Clark.
Sorted. But, not anything stats here, anything like that. Just genuinely shape-wise, I don't think I've seen a worse setup defence than Motherwell's in recent weeks.
That goal, the goal that they concede. Why is Lamy and
Johansson
in a line? But in a straight line ahead of each other. When the ball's completely
vertical, horizontal.
Yeah, it doesn't make absolutely just watch it. Like, well, obviously that's going to happen because there's just a complete gap for the striker just to walk into.
But Johansson, what is he doing?
He is dreadful.
Like, it's kind of one of those things, like, why are you letting that go past you? Your job as a defender to stop the ball going that way.
Just nervous, that's clearly the old proverbial head's gone. And he can't concentrate at all. He doesn't want the ball to come. That normally you don't want the ball to come near you. And it's like he's wearing cement shoes all the time now. He just doesn't move.
It's quite funny that the County fans were pretty much still booing the substitution it was mainly to take off Danda rather than to bring on Hawula. But they're pretty much still booing it when Hawula scores.
16 seconds.
Yes. Finally, we've been talking about how Ross, these wide players haven't been able to get into the centre. That all they've got to like support them to get a goal. All they needed was for someone to just completely vacate the dance floor. they'll just run in and do it.
I do think it was a nice finish, actually. But still, that doesn't really matter, because it's just I reckon most of us could have scored. It's just like, go and shut up shop. Like, absolutely, this is a really, really crucial 3 points. Absolute epitome of basement battle, 6 point, or whatever cliche you want to chuck at it.
They've been in terrible form as well.
Dreadful form.
At home especially.
At home, there is no joy. You've got 7 Ross County fans up there as well. There was not, like, seen the picture, I think there's generally maybe 14. But it's just awful. Awful from Motherwell. And you're running out of ways that you can sort of stick up for Stevie Hamill and what's happening. I know he's trying to make some signings. I think that's 3 in now.
That's now. I've been defending him for most of the season because he was left with an absolutely garbage squad, really. But now he's had, because he was still there for like a lot of the summer window. I don't know how much money there was to go out and sign players, but
he's still had time.
He has still brought some players in. And when you're bringing players in, and there's no improvement. In fact, you're regressing. That's starting to get a bit.
The problem is
visibly.
The problem when he came in and they got the sort of, I don't always like to say, because I don't think it's true that it happens all the time. Well, but the manager's bounce.
It's not
a bit of honeymoon period.
Did they get the results during that period? That always makes it so much worse.
You're spot on.
It's not a case that if a club sacks a manager, that there's definitely going to be a new manager bounce. But it is something that can exist depending on the personality.
And they got
the
that his performance. You think he's coming in,
a club legend, right? Yeah. You think, right, he's going to be able to get.
There wasn't immediate
fans on site.
Yeah, there was fans in there.
There wasn't immediate upturn
in
results, and then.
Not really. Yeah, the results stayed pretty bad.
The first month, there certainly was, because that's why they're not.
Yeah.
But then they did have that period where they played really well for about 4 or 5 games and only picked up like one
including
win.
Including the Hearts, that's one that sticks in the mind.
After that, and nosedived. Mm-hmm.
And now you're playing Paul McGinn, Sarah Mad.
Yeah.
You sure? surely you've got one. Your defence, again, this is exactly what I'm talking about with Hibs. You've got one position that they can hang their hat on at Motherwell where they've got something reliable, and then they manoeuvre them out of it. And it's like, well, are you sure when everyone else is as bad as Lamy and Johansson are that you've decided to take the reliable man out of it and pump him into centre mid? What the thing's going to happen with Paul McGinn in centre mid? Spraying the ball about.
Malky might have been vindicated on his decision to take off Dander and bring on Hawula, but it still didn't stop the County fans from booing at the end of the game because they weren't impressed that after equalising and a Motherwell team whose confidence is absolutely brittle and County could really do with 3 points against anybody, they just kind of went, okay, we'll take a point and get back up with 10 minutes.
82. Yeah,
82. Yeah, there's time with that defence. When you've seen Johansson do that, I'd be like, well, let's just kick the ball over the top.
Let's just kick it at him.
Kick it towards him. And then McKinstry getting on the score sheet again.
Yes.
This time aided and abetted by Ross Laidlaw, who
was recently given, recently given a 3.5-year deal.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Laidlaw, he goes quiet, you think, oh, maybe he is all right. And then, oh, no, he needs back. He's back.
Yeah,
he's got his deal now. Back to Ross Laidlaw.
Back to paper wrists. Snackerjack wrist.
And also the substitution for Malky as well, if you're talking about being a bit negative, just making a like-for-like change and bringing off Tilson for Kenna. Okay.
Oh, Kenna's over there now.
That was when they were chasing the game as well.
It's not exactly like throwing the jugular at it, is it?
They have tons of central midfielders. I was quite surprised that they went for Kenna, to be honest.
I think it was just the sake of bringing in
someone in.
Woohoo!
Are we getting to the stage now where we're going to think that these two are the ones that are in the proper? So Johnston, they're the three, aren't they? Is that Dundee United are going to pull away for them? Hibs have got too much firepower to really get dragged in.
Brave.
We've got a striker who scored 7 goals.
St Johnston have picked up the majority of their points this season while still being pish. I really want them to be in like the bottom three because it's just deserved.
They were in the bottom two last season.
And St Johnston fans, you can send that hate to @CraigFowler86 on Twitter.
I think we are getting the stage where that's going to be the three teams, and maybe I still don't like that Kilmarnock team whatsoever. But
Del Boy's got this in the bag.
Well, I think Del Boy, if he's going up against this, then he's going to be all right. Maybe
watch him pull out a stunning result on Wednesday. He shocks Michael Beale and inflicts his first defeat as Rangers boss.
Right, let's get to our final game, which occurred at Tynecastle on Friday night, where Hearts put in one of the most sensational performances there's ever been in world football ever. Completely deservedly blowing away St Mirren 1-0 with just some fabulous skills. Such entertainment, such brilliance. They were magnificent from moment one to moment 98 to whatever the hell it was.
I saw a boy went to high school with giving you stick. I don't know if you saw this on the
top.
Kerr Hamilton. Fishing myself. He called you a slabber cabbage. Which was a good turn of phrase.
Good turn of phrase.
I'll be using it. But he was like, I went to school. He talked shite then. I never saw you two talk once.
No.
In the entire 6 years we were there. And he's like, I just all of a sudden now he's a pundit. He's
only been sitting
in for 20 years doing fuck all. And suddenly Robbie Nielsen turns the door. You want a shot on Arts TV? And like, he's been working towards it incessantly. Maybe you can still say you don't think he's good, but he's not just been plucked out of thin air.
Hanging about Gordon.
I'm more than happy to slag off Fowler, but I think what's getting.
I just go down to Tynecastle every day and knock on reception door and say, can I be co-commentator, please?
There's certain people in Scottish football media who are definitely like that. We'll name no names. I was just pissing myself with that. I was like, but I'm happy for people to slag off Fowler. Like, I mean, crack on, slabber cabbage, good. But the idea that he's not been doing anything and there's been no work towards his career is the biggest fallacy I've ever heard in my life. So I got a wee laugh out of that. I got put in group chat, she had a good giggle at that slabber cabbage. And then just a discussion about, when did they ever talk? My Hearts were fucking dreadful. I watched the game. Hearts were fucking dreadful. They were dreadful.
Really bad.
They've done nothing. St Mirren
deserved at least a draw. At least.
The one thing I would say for Hearts is that St Mirren tried to make them uncomfortable, but Hearts never looked too in trouble. And I think that would be the best thing from a Hearts point of view, is playing that badly and never looking like you would lose. I think it's a big deal.
I think Robert Snodgrass had a much better game, or certainly much better influence in the game than he did in Paisley, but he was only really able to dictate things for about 15 minutes. Whereas for the first 70 minutes, I would say, he generally had a grasp of this game and was one of the main reasons why Hearts... Well, the main reason why Hearts were in front is because Barry McKay, even when he's not having a good season, that's why... Yeah. When fans are like, oh, McKay needs to be dropped, and it's like, you still lose a bit without McKay.
It's just one
in the
moment
team.
Of magic, isn't it? Like, and that's where McKay else is that best. Coming from?
Picking the ball up, driving it, and...
A great goal. Absolutely brilliant goal.
And then, like I said in the commentary, playing the simple passes to start with, so then he gets his reward and gets the ball back, whereas so many times a season it just feels like McKay is trying to force a through ball that just isn't on, and it's often either blocked by a defender or goes straight out of play. So for him to do the simple thing, play a couple of 5-yard passes, move, and then get it back, and excellent finish. He should actually... I said this last season as well, but he should actually score more goals. He's done all right this season in terms of four.
His finesse with shooting is brilliant.
Yeah. Because he's got such good technique.
Every time he sees goals, it's always like that. It's never laced. It's always outside of the foot or inside the foot, and it's always caressed into the net. So it's like that looks like that would take a lot of technique and practice.
And he rarely ever balloons it or like puts it like
miles wide. He never shanks it.
Yeah, he's usually pretty, if not accurate on target, but at least kind of in and around the goal where you think it's pretty close. So it's strange that he's only got 6 goals in his Hearts career, but they're all pretty much every single one of them. Absolute belters.
He's just looking for more from him, and I know you've said that, but like Snodgrass needs more from whoever the two are beside him, if it be, you know, Kai, Halliday, whoever it is, because he's not going to do all the legwork and all the running.
Halliday, I thought, struggled a bit.
I thought
we missed Devlin for the starting 11.
That's the greatest I've seen Halliday in a long time, because Halliday's actually played really,
Devlin's
really well.
Devlin's got the grit, but I still think Halliday should have that.
Even Devlin, after he came on, showed why he was dropped out of the team. The previous two games, his passing was horrendous, and it was crap again when he came off the bench.
I mean, sure, don't worry about it. Give the ball a little bit, and they'll give you a back in fucking 35 seconds anyway.
Yeah, they really... They're a good team, and they played well, but they are very much percentage football. They got the ball back, it's like, get rid of it.
I love it. I like it with Stephen Robinson. I like when it's unashamed. Yeah. Like that, and it works in this country, whether people like it or not, and it's still proof that for a lot of teams in the lower half of the league, get the right guys involved and you can still have a big impact playing that type of style of football, whether you like it or not.
I think it was clear to see as well in this one that I've had Ayunga being fit to start both games, then it might have been a very different story, because that Hearts back line is...
It's a good player, Ayunga.
The Hearts back line is decent, and they've played well recently in terms of keeping clean sheets, and it's something that Hearts have struggled to do for pretty much all this campaign, but that still, when you've got Sibic, Rills, Hill's a bit different. I think he's a bit more aggressive, but Sibic...
One game.
But what his reputation was down south as well. I think he's supposed to be quite a combative defender, and in that way he's a Craig Halkett replacement, even though he's not anywhere near as good in the air as Craig Halkett is. But it's still a bit soft at the other side of the defence, because that's the one thing on Rolls, which, by the way, delighted he signed a 5-year deal. That's fucking great bit of business.
5 years.
But the one thing he does toil in is the kind of physical aspect, and Maine gave him some problems in both games.
I love it. The Maine's back. It's brilliant. I like percentage football. I like direct. I like up and at them. So I like it when people like Maine are good, and he's fucking kicking shit out of people up the top and driving wide and putting like drilled crosses across. It's just funny to see again, because he was the worst player in the league. There was a period when he was fucking unserviceable as a player. And there were some big injuries for both teams, though, that made huge changes to Mark O'Hara going off.
Cochrane going off was big for
Cochrane. That swung it when it went really in St Mirren's favour from that moment. That St Mirren really took control of the game and looked at that. Was the first period where you're like, right, I think St Mirren are going to get something out of this. And obviously Xander Clark making a brilliant double save.
Yes.
And I was saying, pure hearts. Only Hearts would get lucky that their goalie, who they love, who they would never drop, who was playing shit, breaks his leg and now can't play, and the goalie that comes in's better, and now they keep more clean sheets. That's luck, because they would never, ever, ever have had the balls to drop Craig Gordon, despite the fact that it was getting to the stage where he probably should have been getting dropped. So that's just when things get heartsy. All get a bit heartsy when things all just work out like that.
Written in the stars, isn't it?
And then
there is 30 years of bitterness dripping in those comments.
It's just growing and growing and growing.
So like there were big injuries, and then obviously the referee booking Backus for Snodgrass's incredible dive.
Yep.
And then remarkable. The handball at the end is a penalty.
It's a penalty.
You can't have your arm that far away from your body, and the ball.
We're talking about body shape and unnatural and natural.
Penalties against don't count when it's the famous.
It's like, but the way, can I see what people are saying? It's like, oh, he's trying to get his hand in the way. Yeah, but he misjudges it, and he deliberately hands his hand up there. So it's deliberate handball.
Look at his face. That looks like a guy who thought, oh, whoopsie, I'm about to get done here.
Yeah, and like, people, the Hearts player had their head
oh
on
no,
their
Willie Miller,
their head.
Oh no!
But so it's a penalty, and Hearts have got away with one there, simple as that.
Absolutely.
Don't have to look at it any deeper than that. That's just what
I was really
happened.
Impressed by Alex Godrich over both games. Over.
Yes.
The back-to-back in Paisley last week as well, whenever it was, Saturday or whatever.
He's the manager that you need for Godrich, because if you're not looking for people to pass the ball to each other, Godrich is great. He'll play, because he loves doing those volley passes where he just makes the defenders turn. He likes doing that all the time. He wants to be combative. He's perfect for Stephen Robinson. Not good for other teams, though, because he can't keep the ball at all.
Try to think if there's anything else to say on this before we finish. James Hill, we touched him on briefly. I was very impressed.
Got man of the match, actually, not.
I think we should mention Stephen Humphrey's miss.
Oh, God, aye.
Oh, what about, what's his name? Yes. The boy that came on.
Grant Cool. He could have had an assist if it wasn't for Humphreys.
He could have had a goal if it wasn't for Humphreys as well. Exactly. To play him in.
So that was a good start for Gruel, coming on 80-year-old and instantly just looking like he's making the correct decision, and he's gliding up the pitch. I would say that's what I'm
thinking.
I did worry about it to start with because his first couple of touches, he looked like he wanted an eternity on the ball. You know, like, you need to be quick.
You've been Central Coast Mariners.
Yes, we were defending a 1-0 lead here, and it's late in the game. You need to be at it. But he did look good whenever when the play was actually in St Mirren's half. It wasn't very often.
You'll get 45 tomorrow, and he'll start the derby. Oh, sorry, 45 on Wednesday, then he'll start the derby, and that'll be him in the team.
The funny thing is, though, is that...
I shouldn't say this, I don't really want to get into it, just funny in my head, thinking if Borges go over, snaps up, he's out for 3 months, and then just teams in England going, we're no sending Wonder Boys up there ever again.
But that'd be fine for Hearts' perspective, because it just allowed Josh Tirelli to still just keep being quite good. It'd be harsh for Tirelli if he gets dropped for either of these guys.
It's going to happen.
Can he force his way? Does he deserve to go right in?
Because the thing about Girelli, which I don't know if we're going to get for Cool, is that Girelli works really hard for the front, and he wins the ball back quite a lot in high areas.
Yeah, he's got the know-how, of the Scottish game.
Just before we finish, is Shaughnessy back then? Is that him playing again? Because he just seemed to fall out of love with the Shaughnessy.
Still think it's probably to do with the fact that Fraser was suspended and he was playing the previous game because Gallagher was injured, but he has played well in both games, so he should, and he's quite... I guess Robinson's quite quick to praise Shaughnessy when he actually does play him, because he invariably plays quite well.
I was thinking, even though I don't think Shaughnessy's going
to... But he definitely wanted rid of him at the start of the season.
Shaughnessy's not going to take Hibs to the next level, if they're not. But see, if it's just like a year deal or something right now.
You would kill for Joe Shaughnessy.
Yeah, you know, now we'd just be like, with that shambles again. Sometimes signings are stopgaps.
There's quite a few that would as well. Mother would absolutely love him.
I'd be knocking on his door going, like, we'll take him.
I would take him.
Graham fighting over him.
I would take him as the backup when, I don't know, Toby Civic's leg falls to bits.
Yeah,
he's due next.
If you're Joe Shaughnessy, you must be thinking, if I'm going to be backup, can I be backup at a better team? A bigger club with more money, maybe. Because it just seems a bit... And no offense,
go back to Aberdeen. This is the other team to take him. Aberdeen.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It just feels a bit... Joe Shaughnessy's been a good player for a long time. Being backup at St Mirren just seems a bit beneath him. It doesn't seem right.
Well, there are at least four Premiership sides going, please come to us.
We'd definitely get his game for Hibs, for example. Definitely.
Right, I think that'll do us. Thank you very much to everybody for listening. Thank you to Amy for joining me.
Thank you, Craig.
Thank you to Tony.
Anytime, thank you.
And thank you for all listening. Join us again next time. And in the meantime, remember to enjoy your football.
I forgot to enjoy my football, shit.
No. I don't know what you're saying, remember.
Yeah, remember. Oh, fire. I knew there was something I was meant to do, but it was enjoy my football.
Thrown off by Telfer stealing it. Goodbye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.